Hello.
I have something. I always talk to you all about me. Specifically, I try not to pick others. I pick me. So I wanted to give you an example of what I would do in the course of a day with my son. So we're just going to roll this for a moment. This is me in the course of a day with my son.
Get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. You and your Lord and Adonis will be seeing you at 3 to 2. Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play, don't shovel. Choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't play rope, would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make a bed, do it now, do we have all day? Were you born in a barn, would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Get off the phone, don't sit so close, turn it down. No texting at the table, no more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod if you don't listen up. Where you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Saying thank you, please, excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I'd thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, would appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two of the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A, get the door, don't be smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, I'll count you three. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a go. I don't care who started, you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. If all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said at least a thousand times before that you're too old to act this way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Oh! Wash your teeth, wash your face, put your PJs on. Get in bed, get a hug, say a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again. Because your mom's work never ends. You don't need the reason why. Because I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom. Ta-da!
I thought I would give you a good example of me. When my son saw it, he said, that's my mom. You see, at least I'm not ashamed to admit it. On any given day, I give him 900 directions. He does one. So I'm pretty blessed, and I just want to thank God for having a son. I want to thank God for having the opportunity to be a mother. For those of you that are waiting, for those of you that have gone through mishaps in the last couple of months, and I want to encourage you, God has you at the center of his heart, and he will make you a mom. And he will make you a mom over and over again. One of the most special days to me is Mother's Day. And not because I get special things like this. My son made this, by the way, at a jewelry store. But but because of the fact that for 17 years, I was the mom sitting in the pew crying, saying, I just want to be a mother. I just want the opportunity to be a mother. And I'm telling you, on one golden day, we got a call to go to Ohio. And there I followed this wonderful, wonderful lady through her pregnancy. And there I received the greatest gift besides Jesus Christ. And I am so happy that I am a mother. So I want to speak to you today about moms, the unfinished product. You know, sometimes we think that moms are perfect in every way, and we are. But there are some unfinished things about us that still need to happen. I think of the different sayings that people say about their mother. I want to give you a few common people that we know and what they thought about their mothers. Abraham Lincoln said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me everywhere, and they have clung to me all my life." George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw, and all I am I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Andrew Jackson said, "There never has been a woman like my mother. She was gentle as a dove, brave as a lioness. The memory of my mother and her teachings were all I had to claim and to climb upon. And today, I am still living upon that." So as president, he knew that he needed his mother. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my mother." And then one of the movie stars wrote, "My mother never gave up on me. I messed up in school every day, and they sent me home. And every day my mother met me at the door, and every morning she sent me back to school." And that was Denzel Washington. So even his mother knew that he was going to be something special, but she had to get him out the door to get there. I want to talk a little bit about extended warranties. You know, when you go to the store, that's the first thing they try to shove in your face. You know, so you buy a product and they say, "You need an extended warranty." And so you look at the price of the extended warranty and you wonder, is it worth it? Do I buy it? Should I buy it? And then if you're like me, you think, yeah, it'll probably fall off the table. I better buy it. It might get knocked down. I better buy it. Or my electronic son will open it up and look inside and see how it works. I better buy it. So I purchased the extended warranty. Now, one thing about extended warranties is warranty coverage covers for electronics, from mechanical breakdowns. It covers for anything that can happen that they are willing to service it. I'm thinking about the unfinished product of a mother, and we have extended warranty. Even you men have extended warranty. Sometimes you don't cash in on it, but we do have it. In Philippians 1:6, it says this, "I am certain that God, who began a good work within me, will continue his until it is finally finished on the day of Christ Jesus return, when Christ Jesus returns." That's an extended warranty. He's making a promise that no matter what you go through, no matter how it hurts, no matter all of the things that we go through in the course of life, he's not finished with us. We can always go back to him, and he will give us more. He will repent the presence of our Savior and say, "Lord, I didn't do this exactly right." How many of you have some moments that you know you didn't do it exactly right? I have moments like that I look and I say, "God, I could have done this thing differently." And that's when I go back to God. And this wonderful Savior looks inside my heart and he recognizes that I am not done with you at this point, and I can completely do a work in you. And he begins to chisel and chip and knock things so that I could start all over again. So point one, so as a mother, you've blown it. Start again. We have mornings at my house that after I say all of those things, I look at him and I realize it was unnecessary. I realize that I got up on the wrong side of the bed and I was in the wrong. That I just stop him before we get out the door and I say, "William, Wilson, I'm sorry. I'm not a perfect mother and I'm really sorry." And I said, would you forgive me? Sorry for just walking through the house like a net, yelling, all of that was unnecessary. Would you forgive me? So number one, so you blow it. Start all over again. Because he is a God that will finish a good work in you. He began that good work. He will complete to God. I didn't say it right. You know, I start out with that because and we get to the point that we put so much condemnation on ourselves when we blow it. And we walk around thinking, oh, I wonder if God can ever forgive me. He does. Start over again. Number two, extend mercy. You know, the big key about mercy is this, that mercy is not getting what you deserve. Every now and then you have to stop and extend some mercy. In situations, in life, with other people, in every breath, sometimes you have to extend mercy. That's when you make those decisions. Yes, I'd like to wring your ever-loving neck, but I'm going to have mercy. I'd like to put my hand on my hip and tell you a few things, but I'm going to extend mercy. Because our Jesus extends it all the time. Do you honestly think that we are so perfect that he doesn't ever have a hip moment? Oh, forget about it. I'm here to help you out. If you won't say it, I'll help you. No, we are not that perfect. There aren't times that he doesn't look at us and say, but I told you not to do it, and you did it anyway, but I still love you. How many of you have ever felt, my hands up first, that whisper, don't say it. Don't say it, Robin. Keep your mouth closed. And then all of a sudden you put your hand on your hip and you say it. I'm sure he looks down from heaven and says, I knew she was going to say it. That's why I tried to warn her and tell her to be quiet before. But you know, his mercy and his love for me and his love for you extends to the point that after we've said it, when we go to him and say, God, I'm sorry I blew it. I'm sorry I said it. His mercy comes, and he doesn't condemn us, but he turns to love, and he extends the warrant, and he meets us in the secret places. He that dwelleth in a secret place of the Most High shall abide. He meets us in the secret places, and in those secret places, he whispers things to us, tells us. He loves us, and he doesn't hold us at the knife. He holds us with his love. Places. After you get that extended warranty, I want you to know that the extended warranty works even when situations change. Sometimes we get in life where things change, and we think that God has changed what he said he'll do for us. But his promises are still the same to you. He will still do a work in you. Years ago, I experienced change. And I'm not going to go through the change because you know about it. But what happened is I gave up ministry because I thought that because of the change, I wasn't good enough to do ministry. And wherever I went, I kid you not, I could walk in a door of a church just to go visit. And they would walk up to me, and this happened several times. Hey, someone told us you were in ministry. Before it's over with, will you pray? Will you pray? And I was thinking, I can't pray anymore. I can't pray out. My situation changed. But God never meant for me to feel that way. Life does change. And unfortunately, it may not always change for the better. But I will tell you, the God that gave you the promise that he will be with you, that he loves you, that he called you, he does not take that back. He is not an Indian giver. same God that loves you. So, in joke form, he sends me here. And where do I end up? In ministry. And there I met his redeeming love, and he let me know that he was still here and that I still have a mission. Let's talk about the mission. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece, his workmanship. I love that word, his workmanship. Because when I think of workmanship, I think God that has his hand all around me, and he is doing things to make me better. We are his workmanship. He has created us anew. Everything, all the old, he has created us anew so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. There were no surprises in God that was going to turn out this way. There were no surprises that this was going to happen. But what he wanted for me was to fulfill his will. He gave me that opportunity, and he's still giving it to me. And he's giving you that opportunity. So those of you that are standing in a place and you say, you don't understand what has happened to me. I can't go forward and do the work. I can't. God is giving you move forward. God is with you. Do what he's called you to do. Then with the mission, every mother, every person has a mission, but moms, you have a mission. You have a mission to teach your children to love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You see, mothers can teach children to love. You teach them to love every day by loving them. You teach them to be lovable by even when they're grumpy, you love them. You could teach them to love. And not just your child, but other children. On a daily basis, we're teaching children to love. Not just to love us, but to love their God. Because we're teaching them about God. Next mission for a mom is to guide. You know, I saw Jennifer guiding her daughters up here. They were trying to get behind her. She was giving them a little escort to the front and pushing them forward. She was guiding them. All throughout life, we are a guide. And some of you could testify that don't even have children, have guided other children. You have been a mother to other children. There are people that have mothered me that don't have any children, but I consider myself their child because they have helped to guide me. So your children need you as a guide. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says this, be followers of me, even as I am a follower. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, I got something to tell you, Minister Bill. I got something to tell you, Robin. My son is not serving the Lord. My daughter is not serving the Lord. So what happened? I also remember something that happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. You plant well, okay? Here's the deal. Now, I'm going to talk to you the way I talk to my sisters now. Here's the deal. You plant. Put them in good soil. Put the dirt all around them. Make sure that you water them. And you speak to them. And you live the life in front of them. And you be a good mother or a good father in Christ. So you plant. The Bible says that others will water. So you need not to think that your 30, 47, or 50-year-old daughter, son, or 20 son or daughter, that God is not letting them hear the word every day. They are hearing the word every day. The annoying person that they talk to you about that sits next to them in their office, God planted them there. The one that says, good morning, Jesus loves you. The one that keeps giving them information about the Lord. Or when God takes them out of one job and moves them into the next job, and the boss has a big sign on the window that says, smile, Jesus loves you. That's a watering process. God is concerning his promises. He chases and he will bring them back. And maybe you won't know about it right away, but I'm telling you, God is not slack concerning his promises. And he will do what he says. But first off, it all starts with that big giant pot that you put the rich soil in. That wakes up in the morning and loves on them. The soil that guides them throughout the day. The soil that says, son, daughter, I love you, but what you're doing is going to get you in trouble. The soil that teaches them the right words that should come out of their mouth. The soil that says to them, I don't want to see that. This is what God is saying, son. This is what God is saying, daughter. I love you. I want to see you grow up to be strong in God. And then everywhere they go, God will water. But that's not where he stops. The rest of that, and he will bring the increase. He will bring the increase. They'll call you from somewhere and say, mom, guess what? My life has changed. I'm serving the Lord. Are you sure? Yes, I'm really sure. 40 years of drug addiction from my brother, and he made the call one day. I've changed my life. I have now accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the Hernandez got to see him a couple of months ago, and he's really serving the Lord. He's really serving the Lord. He calls me to pray for me. And I'm excited about that. He says, you are on my heart. And I want to call and pray for you. So I want to encourage you. Pastor will water. And then they may move the hallelujah, but God's going to bring the increase. I'm persuaded of that. Next. Everywhere you go. Moms, you have that ability. You have that ability everywhere you go to share your faith. At the grocery store. You know, people hardly talk to men about Jesus. But people turn around in stores and say to me, and I plug Jesus. This is a lousy day, isn't it, honey? We went last night, a little secret about me that some of you don't know. Barb knows this. I absolutely, positively love the Marvel comic books. Yes, I'm a Marvel baby. And I loved all of the Avenging Angels. All of them. See, I said angels. Ha ha. Anyway, I love the Hulk. I love all of that. So I took my son to the movies. Notice I took him. Ha ha. So I could see it a second time. This is not my first time seeing it. Anyway, while we were in line picking up the tickets early, a lady turns around and she says to me, because the lady in front of us is talking to the people at the ticket. You know, they sell so much more than tickets. And she says to me, she taps me on my shoulder. She goes, isn't that aggravating? Why won't she wait until another time to talk to her? So I turned around and I said, honey, I don't know, but I do know this. There is so much going on behind that counter. They have so many things to sell. And I said, and you know what? Every now and then you just have to really get in the presence of God and just say, God, hey. And you know, she stood there while we were waiting, and she said, you know, that is so true. She said, I used to go to church. And she said, and I used to really, really do things differently. She says, but now I'm not doing it that way. And I said, well, you know, it's not too late. To talking about Jesus, and when we got done, the lady was waiting. And then I walked up, I bought my tickets, and I was getting ready to go, and she turned to me. She said, thank you so much for a reminder. I was not going to put in my 2 cents with complaining about the lady selling other things. Do you know how many things they give you to sell at a movie theater? And I'm not talking about popcorn. They want them to sell 50 other tickets to one person before they walk away from the window. So it's not her fault that she's talking to everybody for 30 minutes. So we just have to be patient. So mothers, you have that right to faith. Teach your children wonderful things. You know, we teach them to cook. We teach them to sew. We teach them all kinds of wonderful things, to iron. Iron. I know, but see, I come out the house if we haven't ironed it. So I teach him to iron. And so in teaching him about ironing and all of those things, I also stop and talk to him about my faith. Your faith, teach your family, is to stand in tough times. Your faith teaches them to reach into whatever seems to be nothing. How many of you have experienced not having a lot of food in the home when you were growing up? And pull out a whole meal. I've done it over and over again. I teach my son when he opens up the cabinet, thing here. I said, son, I could create a masterpiece with what's here. Just step out of the kitchen and let me do my thing. And then a few minutes later, he's sitting eating a meal. We could teach him to complain, or we could teach him how good our God is. We can reach into nothing and pull out something, just like he did when he created this world. We can teach faithful. We can teach them that Jesus is ever present. Your faith can teach them that he is faithful and he is able. One of the little boys, Paxton, last week in school, there's a song that Barb has taught the kids, and it's by a rap group by Lecrae, but it starts off saying, he's able. And all day he walked around going, able. Then he stopped. He's able. I said, God, if he only gets that. He knows you're able. Wherever he goes, he knows he's able. So that's enough. That's good enough for right now. But he learned that at Riversong. So we're teaching him something. Your faith teaches that Jesus is ever present. Your faith teaches that he is faithful and able. And your faith is contagious to other generations. You teach your children, you will teach other children and other people. Is that true? 2 Timothy 1:5, which is what I'm concluding with, because I want all you mothers to have a wonderful Mother's Day. This is what it says. I remember your genuine faith, for you shared this faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. Timothy, he carried where he went the faith of his grandmother, his mother, and then he went forward and spread it to other people. Pass it on.
My mind amuses me. He's born, and you put that first little Nerf football right there. And you can't wait to buy him his first little Redskins or Dallas Cowboy or Giant shirt. And as soon as he's old enough, you get him a helmet, and you're banging on the helmet while you're watching the game together. And then you're there at every practice, and then he becomes the high school quarterback, and he gets drafted, and one day he turns to that camera, and he goes, "Hi, Mom." What's with that? It's always good when you know you've done wrong to ask for forgiveness. And if you've done wrong in the presence of the Lord recently, or you've got a history of it and you haven't said, "I'm sorry," lately, you can expect His mercy when you turn in that direction. Would you stand? Should it be that your heart has been stirred by what you've heard, not just the truth about how mothers can influence our development, but the way they picture how Christ responds to us. He is on display through these mothers. Father, as we stand before you in this moment, I pray for the altars of the hearts to be open to you. And as we reflect on our lives and we talk about our sainted mothers, those who forgave and forgave and forgave, even when we didn't listen to them, how they picture who you are to us. They are you on display in our lives. If there's a need for mercy in this moment, Lord, as hearts are saying, "Father, forgive me," extend that mercy. And as we move from this moment into the next event of this day, may we cherish the reality that someone's kindness has helped shape our life. Someone's love continues to undergird our steps. Someone's confidence in what you can be in our lives keeps their prayers moving for our good. We have much to give thanks for today. Allow these moments, Lord, to capture the essence of that, seal it in our memory, establish it in our hope, let it reverberate in our understanding, and give us grace as we go forward to celebrate the women in our lives from whom we all issue. May we, Father, be a voice of encouragement and thanksgiving to them today, in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to meet our